You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Think about, you know, when, you know, you were young with your dad and you found this dog. You're in that, you know, the journey about coming back in the car, and it's like, tell us a little about that, because I'm like, what are you? This dog is pointing while you're going down the road. Tell us about that story.
Well, he was pointing later. Actually, we were on a family vacation.
Okay.
If you can picture an old style big blue station wagon.
Wow, yeah, I can.
I had my whole family. My two sisters were older. Uh-huh. My little younger brother was a baby. Mm-hmm. Well, he's probably about young, 4 or 5. And we were traveling through Tennessee, mm-hmm. and we saw a sign that said bird dogs for sale. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to understand, my family, my dad was a bird hunter and raised me to be a bird hunter. We always had 6 or 8 bird dogs. Mm-hmm. And where we lived in South Florida, there was just so much open territory. We called it Old Florida, and it was full of quail.
Fort Myers?
Yeah, it was in the Fort Myers, Lee County area,
okay.
Collier County as well. Mm-hmm. And we also had cattle pastures that were woods pastures that were full of quail.
Uh-huh.
So we were always wanting bird dogs. So when we saw that sign, my dad turned around, which was unusual on a trip to stop.
Right.
And the gentleman who was there had a litter of puppies, but they were too young. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, those are too young. He said, well, but I've got an older male that's really a good pointer. Mm-hmm. And his name was Mike. And uh-huh. so... My dad looked at me, and I looked at him. We knew we wanted to have a plan.
Right.
But we had 3 women mm-hmm. to deal with. My mother and my 2 sisters uh-huh. couldn't imagine a dog in the back of a station wagon for Tennessee to South Florida.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize the distance. Okay.
Yeah, so we got him in there, and he became infamous with them mm-hmm. on that long trip. That's a story about that. But the story is called Mike and the Barking Pig.
Uh-huh.
And one day we were bird hunting, mm-hmm. and we got into some wild feral hogs. There's so many of them down in South Florida.
What's a feral hog?
It's a wild hog. It's been turned loose many generations before.
Tusks?
The males have tusks,
okay.
and the females will definitely defend their pigs.
Yeah.
So here comes Mike running to me with mm-hmm. a baby pig in his mouth.
Mike.
And he wasn't hurting it because he had a soft mouth for handling quail.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought it to me, and I picked it up. And by that time, the female and all, they'd left.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, Dad, can we somehow try to keep this pig? Mm-hmm. I'll try to nurse him. And he said, all right. So we first put him in a shoebox at home, mm-hmm. and we give him a bottle every day. Mm-hmm. And then we put him out at the rock quarry where we had some dogs kenneled for a while. And there was a ramp that would go up to the dog box.
Uh-huh.
And there was about 10 dog boxes, 10 with concrete on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that pig would go up at that ramp, and then he'd come back down. And every day at 4 o'clock, we would shoot dynamite, and it would make a loud sound.
Right.
4 o'clock sharp.
Because you're like working at a rock quarry.
I'm working at a rock quarry. Okay. My father had a rock quarry.
Yeah.
And, so when that dynamite would blast, all those dogs would come down the ramp and get at the door of their pen,
uh-huh.
and they'd start barking real loud. Well, that young pig would come down there and sit and bark just like a dog. And so
it's just
a simple story, but
we
called it Mike and the Barking Pig.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
A dog named Mike. What was the pig's name? Pig?
Pig.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He didn't get a name.
No, he didn't get a name.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I know that speaking of the rock quarry, it's amazing when you talk about your experiences. I encourage you to get this book, and also get it for you have sons and fathers and, you know, husbands. I encourage you to get this book because it's just a man's book, you know, talking about these stories. But you talked about, you know, overcoming fear in the book and how, you know, some of it had to do with the snake situation.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Overcoming fear. The first example,
mm-hmm.
My dad was a man's man. He was who John Wayne tried to act like. But he was the real deal.
Wow.
And so we had a hunting camp, and it was way out in the woods near between Sarasota and Arcadia, Florida,
uh-huh.
bordering the Micah State Park.
Okay.
And we had a really neat hunting camp mm-hmm. on a canal, a creek. And then we had, we would sleep 8. And then we had a kitchen that was screened in, that was separate from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a plywood table and benches, and we'd sit in there. And one morning we were sitting in that kitchen, mm-hmm. and we looked up and a great big rattlesnake about 6 feet long was crawling across the camp yard and actually crawled across mm-hmm. the bottom of the ramp going into the cabin or the camp.
That gets your attention.
Yeah, and so we all looked at it, and my dad said, John, I was only 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
He said, take that shovel and go kill that snake.
Dad.
I know. And if my mother was there, okay,
right.
you know, she would have never gone for it.
Right.
And you didn't argue with my dad.
Right.
And I knew it was like a test.
Right.
And so I was a baseball player. Mm-hmm. A snake, they say, can only strike half the body length. We used to think at first the whole body length.
Right.
But I knew with a 4 foot shovel, he could probably only strike about 3 feet.
Okay.
And so I went up to him, and it was pretty simple. I killed him right. and then cut his head off. But
did he jump at you or anything?
No,
like that?
No. I was quick enough to just whack his head. So I call that one first snake overcoming fear.
Right. What did your dad say?
He didn't say anything. Right. He just accepted it. But here's what I've learned mm-hmm. in the Word, okay? 365 times God says, no fear. Don't have fear.
Right.
So that's our fear is not our portion. If you're out there and you're afraid, you need to look to God, help him encourage you to be strong. And you've had maybe not killed a snake, you know, to start you off. But that helped me. I've never been afraid of a rattlesnake wow. since then. And God's given me grace to kill maybe 20.
That's so important because fear is our adversary. It's
it
not
is.
People. It's
it
not
is.
Things. It's like, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real, but it appears real.
Right.
And God wants us to be confident in him.
Right.
Even to the point of understanding we're maybe walking through the valley of the shadow of death and
right.
what we're hearing. But I've noticed, and of course, I'm sure I've read it in your life's journey, but how many times that the enemy would tell you that this is it?
Right.
And it's like, God, no, it's not it. You know, even when you know, the Jezebel told Elijah it was over for him at 24 hours, not only was it not over, but he's still alive today.
Right.
He consulted Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
The Lord's like, because you said it was over for him in 24 hours, I will actually take him away in a chariot and I'll bring him back to consult with my son and I'll bring him back in the, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
It's, but just not believing that. And so many men, one of the highest, you know, T.D. Jakes writes in his book about he emotions, he says that so many men in their 50s, it has a high suicide rate. You know, they've lived their life, they've invested their energy, sometimes they're driven by the current. But when you get around 50 years old, you start evaluating things and looking at things. And the reality is like, sir, it's not over. You know, even if you made bad decisions to this point, you know, that you can say, you know what? I got the rest of my life. You know, there's hope. The fact that you're evaluating your life right now, you're thinking, you know, what have I done? And then maybe people lined up telling you, you know, they're just basically cursing you and saying, blaming you for everything. You can step out of that and realize your life is just going to begin in your 50s. We need you. As a matter of fact, we need the wisdom that you have, your life, your mistakes, and your victories. We need all that. So we need you. We just speak over you. You will live and not die. You will declare the wonders of the Lord and that God's going to use you powerfully. We need you to be sustained for the rest of your journey that God has ordained for you. But that's just so, when I think about that, you know, it's just at the prime of a man's life, the enemy wants to try to snuff them out, but I believe this whole program today is going to encourage
right.
those men.
Right.
The understanding, just you know, where you are in your life right now and how you're encouraging me, encouraging others right now in writing this out. It's very encouraging.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.